On the farm bill, we are making significant progress. We hopefully will be in a position where in the next several days we'll get to a final vote on the farm bill. I'm very optimistic that that will happen and that we will have a farm bill that emerges from the U.S. Senate. Two of the key aspects that we have been working on as amendments to this legislation are, first, the renewable fuel standard. It is my view that the renewable fuel standard that would take us to the production of 36 billion gallons of advanced biofuels by the year 22 is something that we should insist upon. And we have an amendment that I'm co-sponsoring with Senator Domenici to include that in the farm bill, just in case that it somehow gets muddled up in the negotiations that are going on with the energy bill. That renewable fuel standard is important. It quintuples the amount of biofuels that we currently are producing under the current RFS. In addition to the RFS amendment, we also are pushing a cellulosic biofuels amendment on the farm bill. Right now, the way that the farm bill is written, it is unnecessarily constraining because the cellulosic ethanol, the advanced biofuel, is limited to alcohols. Our view is that it ought to be broader than that. The energy legislation is something we worked on for the last several years. From a global point of view, this legislation, coupled with the energy provisions of the Farm Bill, in my view, will get us to a clean energy economy in the 21st century. It will deal with our addiction to foreign oil. It will deal with the issues of global warming, and it will help us create economic opportunity here in America, both in urban and rural areas. So I'm hopeful that we'll get the energy legislation through to the president so that he can, in fact, sign the bill. A bipartisan proposal has been put forward by the chairman and ranking member of the Finance Committee on which I sit. It is a $21.8 billion proposal that will essentially serve as a jet engine for this clean, renewable energy future. We are in the process of studying that legislation, but I do hope that we will ultimately be able to get more than 60 votes for that legislation. The renewable electrical standard is something which Republicans and Democrats should be voting for. Unfortunately, there are many Republicans who don't support it because the president and the White House don't support a national standard. It's ironic to me because when the president was governor of Texas, he was the first governor of the country to actually sign an RPS, which is the same thing, for the state of Texas. And yet, now that he's president of the United States of America, he is the number one opponent to us having a national standard with respect to renewable electrical generation. If anything could happen, and it might surprise us that we get an RES, I just don't see how the votes are here in the U.S. Senate to be able to marshal the 60 votes needed. And in my view, we can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. The good parts of the energy bill will include CAFE standards, the renewable fuel standard, carbon sequestration, and major incentives that will help us bring on this clean energy economy. If we get those four things across the finish line, I don't think that we should allow us to fail on the energy bill in the debate over the national electrical standard. I think on the oil shale provisions, that because they did pass the House of Representatives and because Senator Feinstein on the committee insisted that we accept the language of the House of Representatives on oil shale, I think that those are the provisions that ultimately will survive and will be included in the omnibus bill. Those provisions essentially just require more time and further consultation with the state of Colorado as oil shale is looked at for development possibility. It doesn't kill anything with respect to oil shale development. It simply says that if we're going to develop oil shale in our country, that we're going to be thoughtful about it and take the time that it takes to make sure we're doing it right. Because 80% of the oil shale reserves in the country are located in Colorado, that's an essential provision for us. With respect to oil and gas, I have always supported a balanced approach to the development of oil and gas in my state. I did that as director of the Department of Natural Resources, and I've done that with legislation that I have supported here in the United States Senate. The Rome Plateau does not belong to any one king. The Rome Plateau belongs to the people of this country as a land of many uses. The underlying legislation, including the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, contemplates that what you are going to do is to have multiple uses on the Rome Plateau. Those multiple uses need to be protected, including the uses for hunting and fishing and recreation. And I think there is a way in which that can be done. And at the same time, the gas resources underlying the 77,000 acres of the Rhone Plateau can in fact be developed. And I will keep pushing with all of the power that I have to make sure that it gets done right. It's very simple. You know, we want to protect the land and water. When development takes place, we want to make sure that maximum amount of money gets returned back to the state. Those are my guiding principles on this. And if we are able to get a year to work with the BLM and with the gas companies and others, I think that we can achieve that result. We may not be successful at the end, but it won't be because we haven't fought for the right cause.